an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
But we got a cat, and Paul does everything for Pat. Cat's a big, big boy cat.
It's Pat the cat. That's the name of your
cat's name is Applesauce.
The cat's name is Applesauce.
And Paul is totally, that's your responsibility. Totally feeding, taking the poops, cleaning everything up. Him.
Wait, what are you? You're touching something that's banging.
No, it's the cat.
Oh, it's the cat. Applesauce.
That is the cat trying to open the door with his
Oh, foot. That's hilarious.
Okay. So, Paul, that is a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the cat to bed at night, getting all the food, you know, and taking care of it.
That's amazing. So Paul can remember that he's fed the cat, where the cat food is, everything.
Take care of the poops, go into the garbage. Yeah.
Dementia Discussions. Here to help and empower our heroic caregivers with knowledge and experience. Dementia Discussions with the caregivers themselves and memory loss professionals. Here to help with 30 years as a geriatric social worker is your Dementia Discussions host, Barbara Hammond.
Hello and welcome to Dementia Discussions. I'm Barbara Hammond. Today on my show, I have Susie Rosenberg. I know Susie from my Dementia with Lewy Body support group through UCLA. I have to say, I've briefly met her husband, Paul. I sometimes get to see him on Zoom at our meetings, but really, I don't know Paul. So, Susie, welcome to Dementia Discussions. It's great to have you.
Thank you. I have been married 64 years.
What?
That's a long time.
Oh, my gosh.
64 years. Yeah, after I got out of college, he was in law school, and he was smart and cute and adventuresome, all the things I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long time to be married, yes.
That is indeed. Wow. So tell us about him. What kind of guy was he?
Paul was very, very offbeat, very smart. And his being so smart has been a problem for me as he started to get a tiny bit less smart. He was the smart one. He was the grounded one. He was the one that really knew what to do. Although I worked successfully, he was smarter. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to have a husband who was smarter. That was fine. This has been a very, very difficult time for a lot of reasons. And having lived with Paul when he did everything, really, was, I didn't think it was comforting. I just thought it was natural. But I better go back to where he was diagnosed. Just so I can also add this, Paul has a very, 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 very bad eye condition. He's got way bad glaucoma. And his vision really interferes a lot. It's sometime when he isn't doing something, is it that he doesn't see it or is it that he doesn't comprehend it? You know,
mm-hmm.
He has trouble seeing. And they've done everything. He's had all the best doctors that there are. He's only hoping to hold the line where it is. So Paul, I noticed, was getting really forgetful. Not like, oh, I came to this room. Why did I come here? Like we all do. Not that. Really forgetful. And I went to our main doctor, who we've had for about 35 or 40 years, who's a friend. And he said, I don't see anything wrong. He looks good to me. I said, trust me, Cameron, there's something not right here. I live with them. He said, okay, I'm with Cedars, but the very best, best, best people are St. John's, UCLA. You got to get out of me. I'll tell you, best diagnostician is, I'm not going to mention the name. That's who you have to see. I said, okay, I want to go to the very best. I don't care if it's Cedars or I don't care who it is, as long as it's the best in LA. And Paul took a zillion tests, from CAT scans to brain scans to word tests to days at UCLA. I mean, it was arduous.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in, I was very impressed with the group of people that were giving the word tests. And I liked them a lot. And they were very, very specific in talking to me alone and my saying, you know, Paul sees a lot of people on the street that aren't there. He's seen them for years and years and years. He likes them. That
got their attention.
Uh-huh. That got their attention. I said, otherwise, I see a slight memory loss, maybe slight, 50 times slight, tiny bit of cognitive loss, but he's old. He's in very good shape. He's, you know, has no bad things in his happening. He takes no pills, not cholesterol, not blood pressure, nothing.
How old was he at the time?
Well, he's 88 and a half now. So and he was 86.
Oh, so this was only 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was only 2.5 years ago. So I took all these tests. I finished taking the tests. It took about a month or 6 weeks to take all these tests, all these written tests, everything that we could do. And we went in and we saw a doctor. She's a diagnostician and her assistant, who we liked very much. The doctor came in and said, briefly, Paul has Lewy body dementia. It's something that eventually he'll die from, and there's nothing that can be done about it. And, of course, my response was to cry vividly and avidly on the chair. But she left. That was the end of that. The assistant came in and was quite nice about everything and quite comforting. Needless to say, I have not spent a lot of time with this doctor. I go to her assistant, who I like very much. She probably is a good diagnostician, and it's probably true. She's not kind, and she's not supportive, and I don't go to anybody that isn't those things. I'm very lucky.
But she did the trick in terms of diagnosing him.
Yes, yes, she did right away. She said, that is what he has. He'll die of that. I said, how soon?
Yeah, good question.
I don't know the answer to that, but I was crying too much to make too much sense. Oh. I was completely bowled over. I do not, Barbara, know anyone, nor do I know any friends, acquaintances, work people, people in my life, family who have dementia. Nobody. Hmm. It was like something I saw in movies. I had no idea what it was. I heard of Alzheimer's. I never heard of this Lewy body dementia. I had no one to talk to. But what I do and what I did when I worked, which was very good, is as long as I didn't understand something and I was in a meeting, a high-powered meeting, I just stopped and raised my hand and said, could you explain that? I just don't understand it. And that's what I did. I called Atlanta. I called the group. I called everybody I knew and said, do you know anybody that has this? And two people did. I was lucky. And both those people, the husband died of it. And both husbands, which is even more bizarre, were psychiatrists.
Now, which group in Atlanta was this?
It was the Lewy body group.
The Lewy body dementia association.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. I went on a big chair to see everything I could see, everyone I knew and what I could do. And I asked the doctor that saw him, can he take medicine? Yes, he can take two medicines, Aricept and Namenda. I said, fine, give him to him right now. From that moment on, he's taken two medicines.
That's it.
He never increased. I mean, that's it. He takes that. Paul is very, very frustrated. He's frustrated with his eyes. He's frustrated with not using the computer as he did. He's frustrated with not reading books every day. He's frustrated, but he is cognitively pretty good. He's made a lot of interesting statements that I never thought of, that he thought of. Now, right now, he
like
wants
what?
To be involved.
So what sort of statements has he made?
I'll say, I don't know what to do about this. This is really weird. I'm paying all the bills. I'm doing all the house stuff. I'm doing all the fire brush stuff. I'm doing things I never did that are very complex. He said, I know what we should do. And he's right. So he's still got a few marbles left. He's got a few brain cells that are in there. But he definitely lost them. He does have scoliosis, so he is bent over. Immediately, the doctor person said, this is dementia. But we went to a Parkinson's woman who I loved, who works with their group, who I just loved. Actually, Paul loved her too. Why? Because she was so pretty, I think. But she said, no, no Parkinson. Thank God. No Parkinson. But he has scoliosis. So he is bent over. He wasn't bent over ever. He's 6'2". Wasn't ever. A lot of things bother him, and he tries to deal with them. He's not depressed. He tries to deal with them. He is very social. He loves being with friends. He also loves saying, you know, I was diagnosed with dementia. Don't, you know, or something comes up. Don't blame me. I have dementia.
He'll say that.
He's very quick to say what he was, has, and everything else, which is good. It's good. It's led me to the two women that have been so helpful because her husband died. I have found out a lot, not that much that we can do, really. We can sort of march along and do as much as we do. In 2.5 years, I don't think I've been without Paul. He even sneaks on to your show sometime.
We've seen him.
With me. He's in Ralph's. He's in Gelson's. He's in my friends. He's in the doctor. He's with me all the time.
How is that for you?
Good and bad. You know, I never had that. I worked until 2.5 years ago. All the time. When I wasn't working, I might have been at the gym. I might have done a lot of other things. I didn't see Paul much until the weekend.
And now
luckily,
you're together.
I have a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of space. Luckily and unluckily, I take care of it. I don't have a housekeeper. My housekeeper works at St. Joseph's as a phlebotomist with the COVID people.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stuff to do. And Paul's very good. He's very good.
So he helps around the house?
Oh, yeah. I go, time to empty vacuums now. To vacuum the cat food's here, you know. We have to clean the counters. They don't look so good. He does help me a lot.
So you can tell him to clean the counters and he'll go and get the sponge and clean.
He just does it.
He just does it.
We have to do a lot of things. This is a big, big house. Okay, on the negative, I am not prepared as I would like to be about what if. What if Paul can't get him? What if he falls down blubbering and I can't get him up? Well, then I would call 911. But what about the future? I don't know. I try to practice mindfulness. I try to practice a lot of the times we have still, a lot of people we see.
So are you worried about the future?
Yes. I'm worried about, number one, that I wasn't smart enough to take out home health care. I have none.
You weren't smart enough to take out long-term care insurance? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Long-term.
I would like to do that. I have two friends that did that. I was not that smart. I did not do that. So I have no long-term care.
Right.
And long-term care is scary because it's so expensive.
You mean caregivers at home or care in a facility?
Caregivers. Number two, I can't get a caregiver until I redo my bathroom upstairs, which is in the works.
What do you mean?
See, I can't get someone to live in the house if I don't have a workable bathroom upstairs. That would make it perfect. But it's not. It's the bathroom needs to be completely overhauled. That's a job, a big job.
That's okay, though, because usually if you have caregivers in the house, they're in shifts. They're in shifts, like 2 12-hour shifts, and they don't need their own room.
Well, I was thinking that would be good. I think with Paul, about a year ago, I dragged him to all the top places, retirement, nice places that help you. Assisted living sort of started at the top, believe me. Belmont and Wilshire Boulevard. I started at the one on Clark Street, which is lovely. And we were in Beverly Hills. I forgot the name of it. It's really a big one. Watermark.
Yeah.
So we were in what, and the people were so nice to us. They were really nice and very complimentary. So we were leaving and walking back to my car. And I said, Paul, what's really nice? How do you feel? Look at all the courses we could take and stuff we could do. And we wouldn't have any trouble with fire brushes and all this stuff like that. And he said, well, I said, what do you mean, well? It was a very nice environment. I said, how do you really feel about that? He said, well, I'd rather be dead. So I guess an option is not probably going to a place
He doesn't want to do that.
Oh, no. No, he definitely doesn't want to do that. Mm. I personally would move. It's kind of isolated up there. I would move. Paul wouldn't. Mm. Literally goes on the deck and says, I love it up here. I love the birds. I love the hills. He doesn't want to move.
Mm-mm.
And being so forgetful, it would be pretty traumatic.
So over the past 2.5 years, he's gotten more forgetful, it sounds like.
Yes. Slower. Really slow. It's not so dreadful, you know, but he's forgetful. I can say yesterday, I'm going to talk to Barbara at 4:00. But in the morning, he says, can we go to the bank today? I go, no. It's the closest if I'm talking to her for. He forgets a lot.
He's slow thinking or slow moving?
He's not slow thinking. He's slow moving and slow thinking, yes, because he forgets. He forgets one day to the next. He knows I'm here. I don't forget. And I have a calendar. And I move him around. Could he be alone? He wouldn't hurt himself. And he's very slow and arduous because he doesn't want to fall.
So he's careful.
Yeah, he doesn't really want to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Doing physical therapy with Cedars. He takes the 2 pills. He's very involved in everything we're doing, which is a lot. We actually do a lot, more than most people do.
What do you do?
One thing is we visit stores quite frequently.
We visit stores, you mean?
No, we go from the 99 cent store to Gelson's to Sprouts. No.
So grocery stores?
A lot of cooking. I never cooked in my life.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of taking courses from me and buying interesting. Paul's very interested in that. He likes that. That kept us busy during COVID. We were vaccinated right off the bat in the very beginning of the whole thing. We were way soon. I have no friends that are not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm very.
Yeah, that's great.
Everybody I know is vaccinated. And they were way back. A lot of our friends are doctors. A lot of our friends are professionals. You know, a lot of entertainment, like I was. I am very fortunate in knowing a lot of young people because I worked with young people.
What did you do? What was your profession?
I was a promotion and marketing executive with Sony.
Oh, wow.
But the people in my department were young and wonderful and great. I have kept up with all of them. The basic main people in my department, I don't think I would ever not have them in my life. I was lucky. I was there a long time, so I was very lucky.
And when you talk about friends, you and Paul can get together with friends, and how is that? Is Paul
better.
Like verbal?
Better. If there's mostly because of COVID, we've been getting together with 2 friends. That means there's Paul and myself and 2 friends, like Barbara and a friend. Okay. That is best of all because he doesn't get diverted. He's listening. And he's, according to a friend of mine who we were with about 2 or 3 weeks ago, she said, Paul's one thing that's very interesting. Her husband's a psychoanalyst. She said, is he can tell a story from beginning to end perfectly. And that's really hard to do. And he does that. He's telling us certain things. So with people, he's fine. Last weekend, there were 6 people. It was a little harder because the conversation crisscrosses over a table, but people he really likes. We're very, very lucky to have a lot of friends. And they're old friends. I haven't done what I love to do and investigate new friends because I don't have the time. I'm like hideously busy.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting, though, that he can keep track. He can tell a story from beginning to end. He can track the conversation among everyone.
Yes.
That's amazing.
He's interested in them. He's interested. You know, if the couple are talking about how ill their dog is and they're horribly afraid it's time for the dog to die and he's 13, Paul's right there. He understands. Remembers the dog's name. He loves the dog. He's right with them about what can they do, what medicine will help. He's very involved with the people we're with. Very.
Hmm.
Yes, good question.
That's great.
Yeah, it is great.
And how about the people that he sees? Tell us about that.
Well, he saw these people way before we investigated that something was wrong with them.
Really?
I thought maybe he saw them because his eyes were bad and they were trees and they weren't people. You know,
right?
I had no idea. And actually, Barbara, of all the groups come in, and of the woman that's so smart, nobody's given him a good answer why he does. They're not mean people. They're nice people.
Mm-hmm.
They're well-dressed. They wear black a lot. They're on the sides of buildings, on the Ventura Boulevard a lot. They don't cause trouble. And when it's hard for them to cross the street, they go under the sidewalk.
Huh.
They're kind of, Paul has made me stop and try to take a picture with my phone.
Really? So he'll say, there they are. Can you take a picture of them?
They said, well, they're not there, no. He said, okay. He knows that they're not there. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very real. They're not all the time. They went away for a while. Then they came back. They don't bother him. I hear other people, they come in the house. People that aren't real go to the bathroom and lock the door. No, nothing like that. They never come in the house. Only on the street and mostly when I'm driving. Although Paul saw them when he was driving.
Really?
Way back when I wouldn't have thought anything was from this. And they continue, but I don't find that an intolerable part of the situation.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't agitate him or anything. They don't.
Not at all.
Disturb
him.
He likes the people.
He thinks they're interesting, and they're one more aspect of looking out the window when you have gone in the same street a lot.
So he doesn't hear them. They don't speak to him.
No, they don't speak at all. And they're too far from the car. He wouldn't hear them. They're against the wall, against the store. But they're very vivid. He can describe their clothes. And there are quite a few of them. But that hasn't been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's told some other people, and they think it's pretty odd, but, you know.
Well, does he talk about them with other people or just with you?
No. He tells other people, sometimes do. They said, boy, that's pretty weird. You know? I go, well, naturally, they get weird. It is weird. But it was the first thing I said 2.5 years ago that made them jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a driver 2.5 years ago who Paul adored. He adored this guy. The guy, he drove for Lyft, but after the first drive pickup here, he drove privately for Paul. He took him to work 3 to 4 days a week and home. But they became very good friends. And I mentioned this to the people at UCLA who were interviewing me. And I said, you know, out of every bad thing, maybe some good comes. I said, Paul adores this guy. The guy adores Paul. There are some strangenesses in this that make me cautious or wary. The guy is a black football player. He's about 450 pounds. He's about 5'10 or 11. Paul is a Jewish prince of a type. He's 6'2 and he's bone thin. They're buddies. Now, some friends of mine have looked up the guy. We can't find anything. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No school, no Compton, no bringing up, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they go. They pull me into their office and they go, this is going to be elder abuse. I go, well, there's no abuse. I mean, there's no abuse in Paul. He doesn't have our bank account. No, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the guy in 2 years moved. He moved away. Still unknown to everyone. He gave me an address.
So Paul doesn't have a driver anymore.
A friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, told me about 2 or 3 weeks ago that her ex-husband has a younger brother that lives 2 blocks from me, which is totally crazy. I live on outpost. I live on this weird street, you know, up in the hill. And that it's a long shot. He's retired, doesn't have any kids, and he's divorced, and has cats. Call him. I went, okay. And Paul said, call the guy. I go, I don't know. I called him. Love the guy. So far, he has taken us 2 times a week for 2 weeks.
Great. Where does he take you?
Well, he takes me to errands.
Perfect.
Yesterday, I had to buy a vacuum.
Uh-huh.
And I had to then take Paul to the dermatologist. It's not too exciting. Paul and I really like the guy. He's very good to Paul. He's very kind. He helps him in and out of the car. One day I took him to a secret shopping place that nobody knows about. And it's between Glendale and Burbank. It has unbelievable foreign, international food.
Mm-hmm.
He got that. And he's just, I don't know, I have good feelings about that. He's really helpful.
That's great. And you need the help.
Yeah, I need the help desperately.
What about going through an agency?
I don't like the idea of not knowing the people. And I don't know. Paul was pretty heartbroken when Kevin left.
Mm-hmm.
He had a job in Washington. He really was. And they still talk on the phone all the time. And it was certainly weird. It certainly was weird. I agree. I love Kevin, too. I love Kevin. It was weird. Certainly not that he was black. It wasn't any of that. It just was weird. He would sit in front of the house and talk to Paul for an hour when he dropped him off. He'd come in at coffee. You know, we knew him really well, but we couldn't find anything out.
So just as a total aside, what you were saying before, did anyone ever mention to you something called Bonnet's syndrome?
No.
Which it's a condition when people have vision impairment.
Yeah.
They have visual hallucinations.
Yeah. Yes. They didn't give it a name, but they said that.
Okay. Because there is something called Bonnet's syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably what he, I mean, it could be that, or
it could be that.
Yeah.
See, about 12 years ago, Hong knocked his left eye out on the hood of his car.
Oh my God.
Out. OUD. They called me at Sony and they said he's in the hospital. He has seven eye replaced. I said, what? Barbara, it was horrible.
That sounds horrible.
So he's wearing a glass eye. He has a contact glass eye. So one eye is, forget about it.
Right.
And one eye has severe glaucoma. This is very, very problematic.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
I mean, last
so on top of Lewy body dementia, which you have visual hallucinations with that too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But Saturday, a friend of mine who was over here, he said, Paul said, I'm in the kitchen. What do you need? And she said, well, I need the wine, my wine. So Paul brought out the Perrier water. Mm. I said, Cheryl, don't forget he can't see the wine from the Perrier probably. It's dark in there.
Aww.
So that's the kind of thing that frustrates him. He listens to books on tape and he belongs to Braille. Braille's been incredibly good, but they've been closed for a year and a half.
And he can follow the books on tape?
Yeah, loves them. He gets the authors that he loves.
He gets the authors that he loves.
Yeah. He was an avid reader. He'd read three or four books a week. And I think that he's bright. It certainly isn't a disease. It cares if you're bright or if you're stupid. Definitely. But Paul is very, very tenacious. He makes notes for himself and he reads them. And because of this guy that left, they bought together an Android phone. It is very complex. It is not for people with dementia. Put it that way. And all my friends don't have it. They have iPhones like me. They can't help them. Paul lives in T-Mobile. It's a constant problem to him. But it has Google. He talks to it all the time. He's learning whatever he can talk to. Talks to Alexa. Talks to Google. What day is it? What's the weather? What time is it? What month is it? He knows all that because he does it every day.
And he'll just ask those questions once and okay, so he'll forget the answer.
Yeah. What day is it? What's the date today? What's the weather tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday? What's the weather Friday? Calls again. You know, it's Google. Or he goes to Alexa. He wants to hear the music or he wants to ask her something. He does a lot with those two things, better than asking me all the time. You know.
Yeah, does he ask you questions all the time?
Not so much. He mostly asks, what are we doing? Because we mostly are out of here in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Sometimes I like to say nothing. That wouldn't go over well.
No.
He wants to really go and do things.
So what are you guys going and doing?
Go to the shoe store. Or we don't see people much during the week because most of my friends work, actually. Even if they're working at home, they're working. I can't go bouncing in there. You know, we always can do, we do things. Maybe we take a walk somewhere we haven't been in a while. You know, but we leave for a while and come back.
That's so great. He wants to be active.
He wants to be active and he wants to be connected to the same friends. He would like to do what I mentioned, involve newer people. And from these groups, I've met a few people I really like a lot.
Okay, so tell us about the groups you're involved in.
Groups, I think, are the saving grace. I think knowing other people have the same problem and what they're doing about it and how they're coping, what are they using for coping skills? Groups, to me, are amazing. I've been in a group for a long, long time through the girl that works for the doctor. That was the first group. But see, I've moved along. I had Paul go to OPECO, which I'm sure you know about. Some friends of mine raved about OPECO. So it was hard enough to get him in there. We get him in there, and the women were lovely who were running it. Lovely. So Paul goes to this all day, like from 10 to 4 or something. Oh, my God. He hated that more than life.
It's an adult daycare program, and he hated it.
I am not. He said, they don't understand. I didn't come to be in the group. I came because I want to help run the group.
He's run a group before.
Yes, he's run a group before.
So he wanted to run the groups at OPECO.
Right. Yes, he did not want to be in the group. He said some of them had their head down in their lap, and they never put their head up. And he said, then there was exercise. They moved their arm up and down. He said, what are they, crazy? I do exercise all day. You know, mm-hmm. He was a long-distance runner. He's a black belt in karate. He was an amateur buck. You know, this for him was, are they kidding me? He said, I'm never, ever, ever going back there. Then we got into a group with Sarah Kay, who's from OPECO, who couldn't be lovelier. She and a very lovely woman. Do you know Judy Weintraub?
Yeah, yeah.
A lovely, lovely woman. She's a rabbi for heaven.
Yeah, And how was that?
They were lovely. The group didn't work. They didn't know enough about running. To be honest, Barbara, they didn't know enough about running a group. And the people in the group, they didn't mesh.
And you also did a group. Did you do a group through Alzheimer's Los Angeles?
Yep. I'm still in it.
You are. So that group's working out.
Yeah. Because.
Not our group. You're talking about Memory Club?
It's not Memory Club. It's above that, I think. It's graduation of things.
Oh, yeah. No, so it's the Memory Club.
The girl's name is Alicia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That group is great. Again, because of the 6 to 7 women. They're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Very, very, very interesting. All very, very different. I go
and then Paul
back.
Has his group, right? So then you go to your group, he goes.
He's the second part of it, but the men in the group are not good. They don't talk much. Paul wants to talk to people like himself.
Right.
And that's very weak. Tori does the men's thing. It's okay. That doesn't work as well.
So Paul has not found his niche.
No. He'd love to be in a group. But, God, OPECO was... That was definitely not good. And when I looked at the window and saw him in there that day, I went, oh, this is not a good thing. No. Yeah, and we built a little gym in our den because Paul and I were avid, insane gym goers. We probably were the oldest people there, but we loved the people there. We would go all the time. So we got a recumbent bike, we got pulleys, we got weights. We made half of the den a gym and half of an office.
That's great.
It's really good because we haven't gone back. I think eventually we will go back. We like the gym.
Mm-hmm. For the social nature.
For the exercise.
Well, the exercise, but also the social part. Both.
Yeah, we were just avid gym goers at night, late. Mm-hmm. It suited us. But Paul would love to be with other people like himself.
Right.
Hey, isn't this freaking frustrating? I can't figure this out. I should figure this out. It's really annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. We don't know anybody like that. We don't know anybody that knows anybody like that.
Yeah, he's so articulate and aware of his disease.
He's very aware of the disease. I think that he thinks about the future sometimes too, like I do. Or about what we're going to do, or I think we're not going to go to an assisted care place. it would be okay with me, especially in one of the good ones.
Well, it's interesting.
I have this, but you know,
it's a place where you can be social. So at least he would meet lots of other folks.
Exactly. that's actually a problem, Barbara, right there. There isn't that much for Paul to do. He might sit in the sun for a little bit. He might use a hot tub. He might listen to his books. He might sort out something and clean. He might do some cleaning somewhere. But basically, I feel, what is he going to do? I'm paying the bills, for instance. Okay. I'm talking to the fire department. Okay. I've always called. I'm talking to the accountant about some problems we're having. So Paul said today, this is indicative. I want to talk to the accountant. Let me make some calls. And I think that's a good idea. He doesn't want to be out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I'm taking over things I never took over. I'm not too much of a genius. Believe me, money-wise, I'm an imbecile. So I've had to take all this stuff over.
And if he calls the accountant, is he able to tell the accountant what's going on?
Well, we hate our accountant and we're about to replace him. He's really a misery in our life. Most of the people we deal with, we love. We literally love them. Not this guy. Paul's dealt with them for 35 years out of laziness. He knows he should get rid of them. So, yes, because this guy, 2 years ago, called me up and said that Paul spoke to him and he thinks there's something wrong with Paul. I should get them fixed or get them looked at. In rather a mean way, when Paul heard that. That's all he had to hear. He hated them always. That was really it. So, so mostly, I don't want Paul to flub up because this guy's mean. I sometimes jot down what I'm going to ask him.
Right.
I really do. Sometimes I jot down the question.
And but if Paul calls him, can he remember the accountant's response?
Yes, he can.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, he can.
Some things he really can.
Also, we had a cat that we loved and adored. It died 2 weeks ago. Paul,
I'm sorry.
I know. Paul was heartbroken. Paul adored the cat. We got another cat. Paul was on the morning and the night. Like, I was really busy. Forget it. And we had to have our friends do it. It's very complex now because of COVID. But we got a cat. And Paul does everything for cat. Cat's a big, big boy cat.
It's Pat the cat. That's the name of your...
Cat's name is Applesauce.
The cat's name is Applesauce.
And Paul is totally, that's your responsibility. Totally feeding, taking the poops, cleaning everything up. Him.
Wait, what are you... You're touching something that's banging.
No, it's the cat.
Oh, it's the cat. Applesauce.
That is the cat trying to open the door with his...
Oh, voice. That's hilarious.
Okay. So, Paul, that is a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the cat to bed at night, getting all the food, you know, and taking care of it.
That's amazing. So Paul can remember that he's fed the cat,
where
the cat food is, everything.
Take care of the poops, go into the garbage, or at the end of the day, Paul, go up and look for mail, because we get mail in the garage, you know. I like him to have some responsibilities, or I have to have him help me make a bed, for instance. It's hard to make it.
The cat's back. Let him in. Let's see your cat.
Oh, God. Oh, Barbara, the cat is like to die from gorgeous.
Let's see.
No, I've been upset. They don't go upset. The cat is unbelievable.
No, he's going to be back to bang on the door.
No. I closed the big door. You can't go in.
So funny.
No, it's a beautiful tabby orange cat.
Oh, love those cats.
Big.
Big boy.
So for Paul, again, it's a responsibility.
And it's great. That gives him a purpose, which is really good.
It's giving him things to do. He doesn't miss driving that much because I drive.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I have this guy, Arthur, who I have good feelings about.
Right.
I bought a vacuum with him 2 weeks ago. We came home and I said, Arthur, could you set this up for me? And I'll pay you, you know, by the hour. And he said, sure. You see, so I'm trying to move him into a little bit more of other things.
Yeah, more than driver.
Yeah. More than driving.
Mm-hmm.
More than driving. I don't mind driving, but about 2 months ago, I developed a very strange thing called Meniere's disease, which means you have some intensely horrible dizzy spell. It's not a good thing.
No.
I had one when I was driving. You can't drive because you can't even move.
Oh, gosh.
So it made me very nervous for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the biggest specialist in LA. It's a middle ear stress thing, both. You have to do a lot. So anyway, that made me very nervous about driving so much because I used to live in my car.
Yeah.
But little by little, it's been better and I feel more secure.
Good.
So getting a driver to do some of the driving is good because suppose Paul had a meeting or, or he had a doctor appointment urgent. I will use this guy. Yesterday, I was on a Zoom call and Paul had to go immediately to the dermatologist. He had a horrible rash. I called Arthur and Arthur took both of us. We went and it was great.
That's great. It was great. Good, good. So if you could give other caregivers advice, what would that be?
The advice number one is to find out as much as you can. Absolutely as much. Look it up, read about it, get books about it, find out everything you can about it. Go on the internet. If you don't know people that have it, start to seek what it is and how to do it. Number two, join a group. Talk to people that know more than you do. They've been with somebody that has it. Could be a father, could be a lover, could be a husband, anybody. They'll have answers. Find out about care. What will happen down the line? What will you do? Where will you go? What about places? Go look at them. Some of them will be very good. Definitely the groups, especially with you, Barbara, are phenomenal.
Oh,
they're phenomenal because you hear people who I do follow a lot of people are groupies. They're in different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good because you can really, really do a lot. You are a very, very good leader. They are lovely, lovely people. Leading a group is not that easy. It's just not that easy. And the ingredients of having people that are very gracious and very talkative and very open is important.
We have a good group. We have a really great group.
Very good group. Very good. And it's lucky. I mean, I felt with that other group, they didn't want to even be in a group.
Mm.
They had much interest in the whole thing. So I think finding out as much as you can and realizing, like the adage is, you just kind of have to go day to day and say, what's good? But what are you lucky about?
So looking on the bright side of things.
Right. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have a deadly disease that he's got 2 months to live. Cancer or some horrible other disease. He's not on dialysis. I mean, you know, there are other things.
Mm-hmm. It could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you enjoy? I mean, I enjoy Paul's company. I love his company. I think he was very, very, very upset when he was sitting next to me. I was deathly sick and throwing up. I couldn't move and he couldn't help me.
When was this?
When I got the dizzy thing, when it was so bad.
A few months ago,
I was completely out. Paul couldn't drive. He went for help. But don't forget, I had to get my car back home. And luckily, out of the clear blue sky, I ran into a girl that helped, that we knew.
Thank goodness.
She drove my car and then took an Uber back to hers.
There's always 911. You can always call 911.
Yeah, you can call 911.
Yeah.
Paul felt very inept. He felt very inadequate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't drive.
Right.
I wasn't that far from my house. I was only 10 minutes away that drive.
But he felt bad about it.
Yes, very.
Because of course he would have helped you ordinarily. Of course he would have driven you.
Of course.
Yeah.
And he would have known what to do. You know, so I think there's that. And I think going along saying, I'm going to do the best I can for as long as I can. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know any other answer, really. I think the groups are great. I would like to stay in a group. It's okay.
Absolutely.
And I like you making that possible to do, because down the line, Paul is not going to be the same. He is going to get worse because it's progressive. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, I feel very lucky to have met this guy. He's in his early 60s. He's retired. He seems like he doesn't have a lot to do. And when he left last time, he said, okay, I'll see you next week. What adventure do you have in mind? It's not exactly like going to Turkey or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Paul and I are also very, very grateful for the amount of traveling that we've done. We've been all over the world, really all over the world. And we have seen an unbelievable unbelievable lot of things. I mean, really unbelievable. And so I think we're both very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of traveling.
It's great. So you did that earlier.
Lots of, yeah, that was right. Something that is very, you know, very few places we want to go desperately because we've been to so many.
Good for you.
I don't think we'll be traveling.
No, not now.
And if we regretted not having been to Egypt and not having been to India and not having been to Turkey, then I think we would be kind of miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're very, you know, we look at pictures and we go, oh my God, remember what happened then? You know, we're lucky.
That's great. That's
we're very
great.
Lucky in that we can look back.
Yeah.
I think it's more moving along as best you can, taking the good and maybe recognizing it more, maybe saying, this is good. I feel okay, and this is good. I'm going to be able to make this. I would not say caregiving is my favorite job in the world. I never anticipated being a caregiver. I've never had to be one before. It's really not so easy.
Yeah, this is hard for you.
It's hard. Yeah,
it doesn't come natural.
No, not at all. It does not come natural, you know. And I get angry. I get upset. I told you that. Sure. Should I say that? No, of course.
Yes, of course. You should say that. It's so natural to get angry and upset.
I told you 3 times. Go ask Google.
Wait. Oh, that's what you say to Paul. Go ask Google.
Go ask Google. Maybe she knows the answer. Don't ask me anymore. And I get frustrated myself, you know, with Paul's slowness sometimes. I go, we're walking, Paul. We're moving. I need to leave here before midnight. And he's calling as best as he can. I know that. But sometimes I'm in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just want to do it because it's going to be faster. But I've stopped doing that a lot, Barbara. I've started let him do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to take everything away that he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do it just because I'm faster.
Yeah, you let him do it. Otherwise, he'll really feel bad.
Yes, otherwise, exactly, he'll feel bad. I think keeping up socializing is good. Paul really likes that. And he really likes talking to people and seeing what their problems are. They might not have dementia, but they have their problems, believe me. And keeping the young people in our life is good. They're big helpful to Paul, too. They like Paul. They like a lot of stories he tells about the old days. And they help him with the computer. He's trying to learn Cortana, which is very difficult, that you don't have to see, that you can talk to on your computer. It's very complicated, though.
He's amazing. He really is.
Yeah. See, he doesn't want to give up. That's really it. He doesn't want to give up.
Good for him. Yeah, good for him. That's great.
I give up. I'm demented. I'm going into the dementia home.
Right.
Do that. He doesn't want to do that.
No.
He was appalled at Opeka. He was appalled. And it took me forever to get him in there.
Oh, God.
A hard thing. Actually, I don't think even as he gets to be progressing along, it will have to be a one-on-one person that can, you know, talk to him, teach him something, have him do something that's working. I'm not a very patient person, and I know that. I'm just not.
That's okay. You know that about yourself, exactly.
I do.
So
I know I'm not.
Hire someone who's patient.
Yeah. Luckily, you can. And we'll have time, and who's paid, you know, to do that. And they'll find Paul delightful because he's never been depressed. I have. He's never been depressed. He's always kind of moving along.
Right.
He had prostate cancer. It was nothing. He was stuck with it. He researched it. He did everything. He followed someone else that had. He was fine. Fine.
He's resilient.
He's very resilient. And he's old. I mean, a lot of these are age related.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's true.
He was always a vitamin maniac. He was always a health food maniac. He was a runner. He was an exercise fiend. He exercised when nobody exercised. When we were really young, nobody went to gyms. Just crazy weightlifting people. You know?
Good for him. He was way ahead of his time.
Yes, he was ahead. So I think, Zoe, thank you for doing that and for having the group.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, of course. It's great having you in the group. And it's great seeing Paul sometimes sitting next to you. Yeah. We love that.
He's very interested.
Yeah.
It doesn't depress Paul when people are saying, my husband is just having trouble getting up, you know, or, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, because Paul is not that ignorant. He knows this isn't good progression-wise.
Right.
The line, it's going to be worse. Yeah. But now he is able to go out, able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested in people, thank God.
Thank goodness. Well, Susie, it is lovely talking to you. So wonderful. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Some questions.
Absolutely. You told your story, and I'm grateful for you coming on today. I'm grateful to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. It takes courage because not everyone's willing to do that. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.